Welcome to The Health Habits Coach, the podcast that helps everyday people in their 40s, 50s and 60s and beyond create a healthy life one habit at a time. Are you ready to embark on a journey towards vibrant well-being? Then join me, your host, Claire George, as I guide you through the challenges and the triumphs of building sustainable health habits for the long haul. For those of you who don't know much about me, I'm Claire. I'm a 52-year-old mum of three. I've moved house more than 20 times all around the world, across Asia, Europe, and North America. And I've overcome chronic Lyme disease, and I have 3 degrees, and 2 of those are masters in social and psychological behaviour change for health. I want to bring all this experience into our community to inspire you to stay fit, happy, and healthier as you age. We'll be exploring all the latest research and wisdom to help build healthy habits that will last you a lifetime. Let me and this dedicated community support you on your personal health journey. Together, we'll be uncovering the practical strategies tailored to your stage of life, discovering how to make a small and achievable change that can then fit seamlessly into your everyday routine. The Health Habits Coach is here to establish a new health and wellness model, one governed by positive self-management, not shame or judgment. So tune in to discover how you can lose weight, become more active, feel confident, and experience the rejuvenation that comes from better sleep habits. Okay, so it's time. It's time to start saying yes. Yes to your health aspirations as you dreamcast your future of well-being. Get ready for inspiring conversations, practical tips, and empowering stories that will transform your health journey. So I'm Claire George, and this is the Health Habits Coach podcast, and it's time to begin. So hi, and welcome to the latest episode of the Health Habits Coach podcast. I'm your host, Claire George, and I'm really delighted today. I've got a fabulous guest on the show for you all to really dive in deep into holistic health coaching. We are going to welcome Ganesh Kadova, who is a health and wellness coach who has multiple coaching programs across various dimensions of health and wellness. Ganesh is also a corporate speaker on various topics from weight management to reversing type 2 diabetes. And Ganesh is an author of Be a Runner Forever. And that book came about after 15 years of being a ultra marathon runner. So as you can imagine from that quick, short summary, that Ganesh has so much information, knowledge, wisdom on the subject of coaching people with all sorts of different health situations that they want to improve, level up, and optimize their health and well-being. So welcome onto the podcast, Ganesh. It's brilliant to have you here. Thank you, Claire.
Thank you, Claire, for having me here. Yeah,
and we should say, shouldn't we, that that where you are, so where exactly are you in the world?
So I'm from India, country India, and city of Bengaluru. It's the southern part of India, in the state of Karnataka. So I live in Bangalore currently, but my the place where I was born and brought up is Tamil Nadu, another neighboring state. A city called Madurai is where I was born and brought up with all my education. And in the current city, I'm living for the last 18 years now.
Wow. So you know it. Yeah. You're a local.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to note that your community is much more international, because you have a really good, you know, big sort of following, close-knit community, I think it's fair to say, on LinkedIn. And that's where we connected. And so your community is actually more international than
true, very true. So currently I have my customers from 2 countries, India and North America, most of the customers, different cities, different states. I'm slowly expanding to other countries as well.
Yeah, definitely. And so before we get underway with some sort of questions and start digging into your knowledge, your wisdom, I know everyone listening is intrigued now. They want to know a little bit more about, you know, your backstory, and obviously we've heard snippets about your love of running, be a runner forever. That title tells you that you love running. You know. So can you give us a little sort of sense of, you know, whether it's about how, you know, growing up or earlier life when you were a bit younger, and what influences you had in that you think have led you to becoming a health coach?
Sure. Just briefly, during my childhood, two people inspired me in my life about being healthy, you know, fitter. One is my dad, actually, my father. Though he did not go to gym as usual people, you know, people go to gym for, you know, improving fitness. He was not a gym person as such, okay? But then what I found him doing really well was the lifestyle. The way he was moving, doing things on his own, all the tasks of, you know, domestic needs, you know, early riser, you know, he rises early in the morning. And some of those habits, I observed in during my childhood, and that influenced me a lot, actually, right? Though I did not, realize that he was influencing me or inspiring me when I was a, you know, young person, but only later I realized that after I was running, you know, I could relate to what he was doing, how he was healthy, right? So I could relate so much. And then the other person is my brother, actually. One of my brothers, I have two brothers, one sister. My eldest brother, during my school days, he used to go to one of the programs called National Cadet Corps. Okay, it's a program where people come together and take some training, some drills they do. So what he used to do was, he used to get up in the morning, early morning, like 4:30, get ready, go to school, do the parade as a leader, then come home, then again get ready, go to school. So like I used to see all of that happening, you know. Subconsciously, it was actually doing something in me like that. People are doing so much that I'm sleeping at home still, you know. So I didn't do much during my school days, per se. I didn't do a lot during my school days. Even until I went to my professional days, I didn't do much actually from a health and wellness standpoint. It's only in the last 15 years that I have picked up so much in my life about health and wellness. So I would say my brother and my father were two most inspiring people, influential people for me, actually. Yeah.
Right. And how was food for you? I'm interested. Food is such a big part of life in India. And so growing up with that gorgeous amount of food and different kinds of foods, was food something you absolutely loved as a person, or was it something that was just more fuel?
Yeah, good question, actually. About food, I'm not a foodie, actually. Okay, I never was a foodie. But what happened to me during my school days, I happened to get severe ulcer. I developed an ulcer condition, stomach ulcer condition. And that actually made me become very mindful about how I eat, actually. That was the starting point, I would say, in my whole life, where I started understanding how I take care of myself from a health standpoint as an individual, right? So no one told me, like, do this, not do this, right? So I started experiencing what I'm eating, how it affects my ulcer condition, right? Being in acidity, drinking more water, not eating spicy food, eating on time. So no one told me all this. So I learned all this by myself. And that's when I believe, especially around food, right? The way I eat today is largely influenced by the ulcer condition that I went through in my childhood. Now I don't have ulcer actually anymore. I eat on time, you know, I take care of myself really well, and the condition is no more there, actually. I also help people now to how to overcome those. Yeah. Good answers.
No, it's fascinating to me. And it's I don't know what you think, but I just find most of us, and most people who come into my community, and I'm wondering about yours, and most of us, like myself, right, with my chronic Lyme disease, you know, it's usually until we have a bit of a problem, or until there's a bit of an issue, a symptom or something we don't enjoy having, we tend to just kind of run with it and push the boundaries a bit. Very few people, I think, are born going, I'm just going to look after my body and my health, you know? And so these red flags or these experiences with, you know, whether it's poor health or whether it's, I don't know, just a struggle, whether it's like a weight management struggle, that's when we really start to have to get into a conversation with ourselves about what health and wellness is and how it impacts us if it's not going well. You know, because nobody change, you know, what's the saying, why change a good thing? So I think that's really interesting. And like, you know, also I'm just wondering how, you know, from being sort of the family and younger adult and then shifting to, I believe you had like a corporate career before becoming a health coach. And so how that lifestyle, that culture around, you know, sort of corporate work-life balance, how that influenced you as well?
Sure, sure. Good question, Claire. So for me, what happened is until the age of 34 or 35, I used to be a normal corporate employee. I used to go to work, I do the work, come home, get salary, live my life. You know, the life was just going on like that. And at some point in time, I think it was year 2008, end of 2008. And that's when I went through a lot of health struggles, actually. I had a lot of struggles that I went through. Just to name a couple of them. One of them was I had a very severe back pain. And it was mostly because of my stress levels that I was going through. Because of work or whatever reasons, you know. I went through a lot of stress and it started affecting me in many ways. For example, I used to sleep more. I used to eat more. And today I'm 68 kilograms in weight, body weight. I used to be 78, 10 kg more at that time. It wasn't a very heavy body, but still I felt that heaviness on myself, actually. You know, the morning I get up, I feel that heaviness that, you know, I'm dragging myself to work, you know. So that's one of the life-changing moments of my life, actually, where I looked at me and said to myself, this is not the way I want to lead my life. I want to change it forever. That's when I started walking, actually. One fine morning, I got up. I said to myself, this is the day I'm going to change my life. And I start walking. So I did almost an year of walking. 1 year of walk I did. And that turned running, actually. We can talk about that more as we go forward in this conversation. But yeah, that was a changing point in my life about how I was a normal corporate employee and started focusing on my health, personal health, and started doing a few things, actually. Yeah.
Again, it's our bodies going, hello, look after me. Right. How many people, it's the most common condition, basically, for people from their, I don't know, 20s to their 40s is some sort of back pain, typically lower back pain, and typically from extended sitting, you know, and other factors. But yeah, absolutely. And I've done research on that particular space. And it's so prevalent. And the, you know, hopefully everyone's getting into sit stand desks and all sorts of things that you and I have both been talking about recently. But I'm just wondering whether you mentioned earlier about your 4:30 a.m., you know, get up, you know, and that influence. Do you think that came into the space? Because obviously to fit in a walk before work, you know, when we're younger, we feel like we haven't got time for these things. We feel like we haven't got time. But I think particularly when we're younger and we're so much energy and focus is on our career, on doing well at our jobs, I think it can be really hard to give time to something that's a form of self-care, like going for a walk before work. But do you think that when you were younger, getting up at 4:30, do you think that was still embedded in your brain as a little habit to resurrect?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. So just to reflect back on my childhood again, I used to be an active child, actually. During my childhood, during my school days, younger days, I used to be a little bit active, actually, you know. Just to share some examples. So my school used to be around 2 kilometers away from my home. Okay. So I used to walk up and down every day. I used to walk 4 kilometers every day as part of my lifestyle, actually. Yeah. That was one thing. And second thing was during my college days, I used to ride a bike, a bicycle, and go to my college. It used to be around 7 kilometers from my home, and up and down used to be 14 kilometers. Yeah. Just a couple of things to share, okay? But just reminding back, just coming back to the current, right? So when I started walking in the morning, getting up in the morning was definitely a challenge. you are right. You know, it was not easy for me to get up at, let's say, even 5:30 or 6 a.m., you know. And but because I had all these health issues, and I had this monologue with myself, I spoke to myself, you know, that my health is getting bad, actually. I have to do something about it. That trusting time came that made me realize I have to get up in the morning, because once I get up and go to office, there is a lot of work, you know, 8 hours, 10 hours of work. There is more stress. I have to handle them. So to handle them, I have to get better with my health. And that's how I start getting in the morning, actually. Yeah. And what I realized, so first 2-3 days, I went out and walked. But what I realized is, as I did those walks, it gave me a lot of time to do some introspection. So, like, I just had that monologue with myself, you know, reflect on various things. Like, you know, how I'm working today. Can I change the way of working that I do at my work, office, right? And the way I eat at home, can I change it? So things like this I start thinking about, actually. Yeah. So that's what I liked about the early rising and going for a solo walk. And that's how I think that motivation came from rising early in the morning. Yeah, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that it's demonstrating, I'm sure, something that both of us coach, but very much on that habit sort of thing of just getting started with something quite simple, something fairly low level that's not too taxing, so that you keep listening to that little voice saying, oh, things aren't good, I need to do something here. And then you keep going. And then it built by the sounds of it into, you know, sort of major levels of fitness that most of us can just go, oh, yeah, no, I'm not sure that I'll ever get there. But that's not the point, is it, with getting fit? Like you say, that morning walk, those early, so I can hear it in your voice. You're talking about it and you sound like, yeah, that was a really nice phase of my life to start that stressful corporate day job with a walk and be able to reflect and set intentions and practicing the skills that were going to then help you as a health coach, help others at that early phase of the journey. We focus, don't we, on too much on the achievements, like, and we'll move into that very shortly on your ultra marathon running, you know, and that's amazing. But to me, as a little habits check coach, I'm always most inspired by the seed, whether the seed was planted in a childhood, whether the seed was planted in a health problem, creating this need to do something more for your health. I'm interested in the seed, because if we can figure out what gets us to ripen that seed, what is it?
Yep.
And as a health coach, I can turn on the lights, you know.
Yeah.
They know they've got a situation, they know one, but they don't. Oh, it's so hard. So, but let's, before we get into that space and actually how we help sort of current clients and things, maybe you could take us, carry on with your journey now. So we've walking and how you then got into running and then take us through to the ultra marathon phase of your life.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely, Claire. So like I mentioned, I started walking. So I had health issues. I started walking. And so what happened is I did almost a year of walking. Like, you know, 1 year I did daily walk in the morning. That was the only thing I did for my health, nothing else. You know, I was eating normally as usual, you know, sleeping as usual. But just this walk alone was happening, you know, regularly, right? As a habit, as a very good habit, actually, right? Ingrained a habit. And like you mentioned, actually, I didn't do long walks to start with. It was just a 2 kilometer of walk. I go to a nearby park and I walk, like, take a few stroll of walk, just 2 kilometers. And I feel like I have done a lot, actually. 2 kilometers will feel like, you know, oh, I've done so much today, right? But then slowly what I saw was happening was 2 kilometers became 3 kilometers, 3 became 4, 4 became 5. And I was feeling that I'm getting better in my health, actually, right? I'm feeling active. When I go to work, I can be more productive in the work. You know, that energy level was really good. And while this was happening, what happened one day was I was walking near my area, my home, and in the morning, and I saw a few runners crossing me, actually. A few runners who were running, I just saw them. All I saw them was cheerful guys, you know, smiles all over the face. And though they were elderly, because I was 35, but I could make out they were easily 45 to 50 years in age. Even at that age, they were running so good, looking physically fit, And I just was looking at them for a few seconds, you know. I stood there and I was looking at them. And it just inspired me, you know, why I can't run. I'm walking today. Why I can't run? I can try to run. I have run in the past, I know, in the childhood, younger days. But can I redo it now again? That thought crumbled me and I immediately ran, actually. That day I ran, I literally ran and I could have run probably 100 meters or so. And I was fully out of breath. I was like wheezing, you know, sweating. My heartbeat was rising. And, you know, I felt like I'll die if I run more. So somehow I stopped myself. So the wisdom came slowly, you know. Somehow I would say nature works in such a beautiful way. It teaches you. Once you open up yourself, listen to what it has to teach you, right? So that day, I stopped after 100 meters and told myself, I don't think I should do 5 kilometer run today. No, I should take time and do it. Because the walking I did in 1 year taught me that I could walk from 2 kilometer to 5 kilometer, yeah, over time, actually, without affecting my health, actually. No injuries, nothing. And I thought I should do slowly and gradually running, right? And that's how I started running. And so what I did is I do like 100 meter run, 100 meter walk, get back my breathing, composure in place, again run 100 meters. But no one told me. I had no coach, no coaching. It's all personal. Like I just did on my own, right? And that slowly turned, actually. So the running started happening and I ran like 1 kilometer, 2 kilometer. Let's say if I go for a 5 kilometer walk, what I do is I end up running like say 1.5 kilometer run and rest distance walk, 3.5 walk, just a run walk. Okay. And that's how I did, actually. So slowly going up and up, the more and more I ran, I saw that my energy level was going up and up, actually. And I was feeling much younger, you know, much younger. And I could just feel that youngerness coming back to me the more and more I ran, actually. And yeah, then I couldn't turn back, actually. I never turned back. So I ran like 5K, 10K. For 2 years, I ran 10K distance for first 2 years. And then the first half marathon came in my third year of running. After I did my first half marathon, I got into a running community. There is a set of runners in my area, locality. And I got it with them and so 4 or 5 of them. So we start running long distances regularly. Like every weekend, we run like, say, 15 kilometer run. Yeah. So we all came together. Our thoughts were aligning so much. We were all benefiting from running sport, all 4 of us. And that's how we started a running group in our area, actually, in my locality. We call it Team Miles Ahead, the running group. We founded, actually. I'm one of the co-founders. And that's it. I started learning more about running, talking to people. So half marathon became marathon. Marathon became ultra marathon. So I started running. And so it's now 15 years in my running as a runner, actually, personally as a runner. And I have run almost a dozen of marathons, 8+ ultra marathons. So ultra marathon distances from 50K to 24-hour runs I have done. And yeah. That's about my running journey. Yeah.
It's amazing. Congratulations. What an achievement. What a journey. What a story. I love it. I just think, oh, we love it. It's the running bit. That's your bit, right? That somebody else listening in to the show might be like, oh no, running's not for me. And that's fair enough. But get inspired by the story, by the growth, by the development. It's just a beautiful thing that every single one of us is capable of. And what I really heard was a couple of things that came to me when you're, you know, describing your journey. One was that you said that one day you noticed some runners, but you'd already been walking every morning, basically, for a year. But one day you noticed them. Now, those runners would have been across your path many, many times before the time that you noticed them, I'm sure. So again, I come back to this. What was it about that day in your brain that wanted to notice that? Was it like, okay, I'm ready for the next. And because you'd taken it so gently, it just happened. It just unfolded like a story, like a movie. It wasn't this forced, I'm going to. It was just this thing that came into your world. It's purely gorgeous. And then the other thing that then I think is, like you said about, you know, 100 meters, we all were like, oh yeah, I can get on board with that one, when, you know, we're out of breath and we're like, what am I doing? This is crazy. And then, you know, it made me think of, I did post Lyme. I've always hated running. And to be honest, I'm not a big fan, but I do it quite often, like, well, reasonably. Nothing on your scale. But the point I'm trying to make is, I don't like it, but boy, has it got big bang for buck running. And so just literally, you know, 5 minutes, go for a 5 minute jog, you can just be like so done so quick. So I do love the value. And, you know, I'm always into high value, you know, little inputs, high outputs. And for me, running, when it comes to fitness, it's brilliant. But yeah, I did a couch to 5K in my recovery from Lyme's. I mean, it was 3-4 years after I had Lyme disease. I'd already had to go through tiny, tiny, tiny steps before, at the point of even doing a couch to 5K. But I moved to near Princeton and needed to meet friends. And it was very, you know, sort of managed. I think it's about 90 days. I think it's about 3 months, the couch to 5K. And it's the same as what you're kind of saying. It sounds very similar, you know, stopping and walking and then, or running and then, or jogging, I should say.
Yeah.
Moving yourself at your own pace. What I found, because it was mainly women, I think it was all women actually, you know, sort of in their 40s and 50s. And they just did it at their own pace. So you found a friend. And this is what I also love about running. We think there's a one way to do it, but actually, and, you know, so it creates this sort of community. So within this Couch to 5K community, I found a buddy that kind of did the running bit the same as me. So I didn't, you know, like, oh, I'm rubbish at this, and like sink my self-esteem, you know. So, and what I'm hearing from you is then that you took that love of your running, you wanted to expand and share that love. Because I do think that love underpins all of this conversation. And when, as humans, when we experience, like I do for tennis, my equivalent of running, I could be a tennis player forever. It's tennis. And I just love it. I just, it's just brilliant. And I hear that, you know, you built that, you got going with community and recognizing you wanted to share your love of running and share the experience of running and amplify its impact in your life initially. But then go on to use that love and that understanding and positives to move into. Yeah. So I love it. So just tell us a little bit though about how you know, your book and being a runner forever and introducing it to your book to the audience listening so they can hear a bit.
Yeah. Sure. Absolutely. So in my running journey, I did my first ultra marathon in 2015. In the year 2015, it was a 75-kilometer run, pretty long run. My first ultra marathon was 75-kilometer, and I had done about like 3 to 4 marathons by then, so I knew what it takes to run a marathon. I did not know what it takes to run an ultra marathon. Okay, so that was a shift I was doing actually at that time, and so just to step back a bit, right? So what I was doing as I became a runner or became an active person in my life, I started sharing my experiences in social media. Now, Facebook was one of the media I used actually. So I used to write every day, like, you know, every alternate day, whatever I do, like I run a half marathon, I share it. I run a marathon, I share it. You know, I share not just what I did, you know, I share how I did, what I learned actually in the process, you know, about running and my personal experiences, how running is changing me to some extent, right? So I used to start blogging also. I used to blog. So that's how I wrote about my experiences, about my running experiences. And as all this was happening together, in 2015, when I did my ultra marathon, first ultra marathon, this thought about why I can't write a book and, you know, inspire the world about running. It came in me actually. So that this is a bit about running, you know. Whenever you go for long runs, let's say above like 30 kilometer, 40 kilometer long runs when you do, thoughts come to you from somewhere actually. You know, you don't plan those thoughts. It just comes to you. It comes to you in search of you. It comes to you saying, you should do it. Yeah, it really happens. The universe sends you that thought actually. That's how I see it actually. So it came to me. It came to me saying, Ganesh, I think you should write a book. It is time that you have run so much. You can write a book and you know, show people what really running is and how we can help them actually. Yeah. So the thought came first in 2015. But then you know, as an individual with my family, my job, you know, making time for writing a book, it's not easy, right? So I put that in a backseat. But then what I did is I was compiling my thoughts in during every run of mine. So whenever I go out for a run, I think about how do I approach writing this book, right? What will be my first chapter? What will be my second chapter, right? I start thinking about it actually. So I was doing it. I was doing that. So I came across a person who I coached actually in running. Okay, I became a running coach in 2017, sometime 17, and this person also was a published author. And so as we were talking together, running together, he told me, I can guide you in writing this book, with the structure in the book actually. And that's how I got help from him. He helped me to structure the book and set some timeline, you know, in writing the book actually, right? So the content was slowly developing. I started writing slowly. And the year 2020 came, that's when I left my job actually. We'll talk about that also probably in the upcoming conversation. But yeah, I decided to quit my job in 2020 and I became a health and wellness coach. So I took about like 9 months to sit and write the book actually. So I quit my job as an initial part of my venture into this coaching profession. As I was getting rid of all the other things, I was writing the book actually. So it took 9 months of sitting and writing the book. And I also signed up with a book coach. So he's another person. And I took the online book coaching guideline as to how do I publish a book. Publishing is a separate area. It gave me a lot of learnings about publishing a book, actually. So all in all, it almost took a year, I would say. And the book is out today. It's available across the global region in Amazon. Amazon and the Flipkart. Many places available. It's available in both KDP, Kindle, and paperback. And selling good, decent sale happened so far. I'm happy about it. And the good thing is, I feel good about it, something that I did actually. I didn't stop thinking about it, but I did it actually, right? I became an author today. And the good thing is, because I published the book and it gave me the positive feeling of, I can also sit and write a book and people are reading it, buying and reading it. Gave me the confidence and courage to write more books. So I'm venturing into writing more today. So apart from coaching, I also write. I make time to write, read and write actually. So more to come on that going forward. Yeah,
definitely. You're a growth journey in action. So I don't think there's a finish line for you in your race.
Yeah.
Ganesh. But thanks so much. And just for everyone listening, I will be including in the show notes, you know, sort of a link for you to be able to go and get yourself a copy of Ganesh's book, Be a Runner Forever. You can also just Google it, as Ganesh said, it's widely available around the world. And also, you know, at this point, just mentioned that you have also appeared on other podcasts, you know, runner specific podcasts. So before we move into sort of maybe the more holistic health coaching and your health coaching practice, just wanting to make sure that those of you listening that are particularly interested in the running side of Ganesh's work and contributions, then yeah, do go and explore your name. I'm sure there's a lot next to the running section, as it were. But let's switch now a little bit into current day, into your work as a health coach. And yeah, maybe you can sort of get us a little bit into, you know, we've heard about all the challenges you've gone through and overcome your journey. But what are the kinds of challenges that, you know, your clients typically come into you facing and that you're finding is where you bring that wisdom to help them with?
Yeah, sure. the first thing is this, right? Maybe I'll just quickly talk about how I'm doing holistic coaching here. Okay, I used to be a running coach. And how I transitioned actually, right? So I became a running coach in 2017 while I was in job. So I was in job as a side hustle. I started doing running coaching people in the morning and the evening time that I had actually. Yeah. And so what I started seeing was people come to me saying, I want to become a runner or I want to improve as a runner. Okay. I say, yes, you can come and on board, I can coach you, well and good. But what I saw during my conversation with those people was that, you know, they had a condition that were not helping them to become a runner, actually. For example, people are overweight. They were really heavy, you know. The body weight was more than, BMI was very high, actually. And so they come to me and say, I want to do a half marathon. You know, they come to me because I'm a running coach, and they tell me, I want to run a half marathon. That too in 2 hours, 2 hours, 15 minutes. They set time goal, okay? And I smile at them, actually. I smile at them because they can't even run today. And, you know, they're so heavy. And the best thing for them to do is probably lose that weight and build that fitness first before even starting to run, actually. Okay? This realization came to me as a coach when I was doing running coaching, actually. I was doing running coaching. But then this, on the back of my head, actually, I was thinking that, so how do I coach this person now? How do I coach? Can I make him run as he comes to me now? No, I don't think I should do it as a good coach. I should tell him that, work with me to lose your weight, build fitness, then run. Okay? So this is how my thought process changed, actually, as a coach. So I did, so before this happened, even, you know, because people were coming to me and asking about running and they were not in the condition to do it, I started doing courses for myself. I was educated, got certified in weight management, fitness, yoga, diet, nutrition. Okay? I'm certified in all courses now. And I learned how to coach people in all these aspects, because only then I can help them end to end. Right? I can help them holistically. So, you know, they can achieve the result. At the same time, don't lose their health also. So just the background I'm giving you here. With this background, so what challenges my customers face, right? Just to talk about a couple of them, right? The first thing is this always. So anybody who comes to me, they come with a goal of something. They come and tell me, I want to run a half marathon. Okay? But then in the conversation, I figure out they have less strength. They don't have enough strength in their body. They have to lose weight. They are overweight. You know, there are a lot of conditions like this. So I help them understand, work on all these preliminary things first, set the stage, and then you can run. Yeah. So this is one challenge my customer face, potential customer who are coming to me. This is what happened for most of the people, actually. They come with a goal, but I change the goal, not for my own benefit, for their benefit, actually.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. You're right to explain that, because that was really interesting how you did a paradigm shift of recognizing, because most coaches wouldn't, I don't think. I think if we're honest, most coaches would just go, I'll just try and get them into running. I won't try and do this first, and then we'll get to the running bit, the running goal. But first off, let's address, you know, the unspoken of, you know, because often these subjects, I know, obviously as a health coach, you know, to thousands, and predominantly it is around weight management, is one of the main goals in it with the people that I coach. And but so many people just don't want to say that out loud. We want to talk about anything. We'll talk about running. That's why they've come to you. They just want some say, before we talk about running, can we talk about your weight? But I think it's quite tricky, because you've got to have that respect and that sense of privacy around such personal information. But at the same time, I do see it personally when somebody starts asking me about, oh, I don't know, how can I, Claire, how can I, eat healthier? And they clearly have a weight management issue. I know that what they're really saying is, can you help me lose weight? They just don't want to say those words out loud, because that's hard for people to say out loud. And so, you know, sort of, and you that you mentioned around weight management, are there any other particular challenges that you feel that you've been really helping people with?
Yeah, absolutely. So just to talk about my program that I offer today, Claire, I offer 5 programs majorly for people. So I do running programs for people, achieve running goals, you know, be it distance or be it performance. Yeah, I help with them. I help with fitness also. People come and tell me, like, I have poor fitness. And so how I do, so before I deep dive into all the program details, I will talk about program first and then go into the details, okay? So So second program is fitness. I improve fitness of people. Third thing is diet nutrition. So people come and tell me, you know, I want to change the way I eat, you know, to become healthier, sustainable, you know, I want to maintain my weight sustainably. How do I eat so that I can maintain my weight sustainably, right? So I help with that as well. And apart from these three, I also help with weight management and the diabetes reversal. So there are people who have come to me and told, my diabetes is high, type 2 diabetes. HbA1c is at 8.4, no, close to 9. What do I do, right? So I have helped them to bring down it, bring down through three things. So most of the people, what I do is three things I do. One is a set exercise regimen, a physical activity training plan I give them. Okay, I make them do workouts. So I also conduct classes. As part of my program, I conduct classes, one-on-one video classes. Because some people have understanding about how to do exercises. But some people don't have any knowledge about how to do exercises, what should be the right form, all that. So I help handhold people actually. I handhold people and groom them in exercise program. So exercise is one vertical. I change their diet nutrition habit. And third thing is lifestyle habit. So these three I work on with people. So slowly over time, like, so for most of my customers, what I have seen is they come to me first for three months. And in 3 months, they see some results. If not, it is tangible. They see a lot of benefits that they are feeling about them. And I was not like this before. Today I have changed in 3 months. You know, I'm happy. I'm moving better. You know, I'm eating better actually, right? So this thing happens to them and they are happy to renew the program. So they go up to like 9 months to 1 year. Most of my customers have stayed with me for almost a year actually to see the good results of the program actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, the amount of experience, knowledge, and then how you put that all into practice with each of your clients as individuals, respecting that they have multiple different aspects and elements to their own individual journeys, as we all do. So I love that, and I you know, can't agree more. You know, I couldn't agree more. Like, as in, as a health habits coach, it's so much about the habits and the practices more than, you know, which is why I'm a habits coach. I'm, you know, I don't even really like to be honest, to say that I'm a health coach all the time, because sometimes things that I'm working on with a person wouldn't be considered health by most people, but they are the fundamental problem, barrier to that person having better health. So I completely agree with that. But I'm sure there's many people out there that might want to, you know, be able to connect with you. So just some, you know, so they can know about that. Do you do online work with your clients, or do you meet in person, or how do you actually, you know, connect with your community?
Yeah, so I do mostly online. My programs are completely online, 100% online. But having said that, what I also do is, so if the person is in the same city, let's say I'm living in Bangalore right now in India. So if my customer is in Bangalore, I take time and meet them actually. I meet them, you know, to build that rapport with the customers. So I do that way actually. And when people come from other nations, let's say somebody is in US, North America, they come to India on visit, their personal visit. And I let them know, if you are coming to Bangalore, let's meet. So people have met me as well. So people come here and we meet actually. But otherwise, my programs are completely online. Yeah.
Brilliant. So we will be leaving link. We'll be leaving links in the show notes so that you'll be able to connect with Ganesh.
Yes, correct.
Programs, yeah. That it's, you know, sort of explained and expressed just how holistic they are. So, but before I can let you go, Ganesh, we do need to get into the Health Habits Coach traditions of asking you just a couple of questions that I ask all my guests on the show. So firstly, I'm hoping that you might help us out with your own definition of health and what, you know, health is for you.
Yeah, sure. See, health actually, you know, many people think of health as, layer. The resting heart rate, you know, how many kilometers you can run, fitness, are you illness free, right? So for me, I think I don't want to brag, but it has become a way of living for me. So health for me is a very foundation for the way of living. Okay, it's a very foundation for me today. And whatever I achieved in my life so far, and whatever I'm going to do to going forward in my life, is all because of health, actually. So health acts as it's a very foundation thing for me in my life. That's how I put it, actually. Yeah, more than anything else, it's a way of living, actually. Being healthy is a way of living. And one thing I'll add is, so you know about life expectancy, right? People say life expectancy, you know, how long you live. But for me, it's about healthy life expectancy, right? HLE, we call it. And whatever number of years I will live, I want to be healthy. That's the goal I have for my life. And that is health for me. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it makes me think of, I think it was Stephen Bartlett, you know, Diary of a CEO chap. I think I heard it there. I can't remember, but he said that when you say about health being foundational and a way of life, but foundational, that word, foundations, the stuff we build big skyscrapers on.
Exactly, yeah.
Foundations. But he said that health is like the table. I think it was him. He said health is like the table, and you know, your life is like the table, rather, and health is like the four legs.
Yes.
Without your health, you haven't really got a table, have you?
Yeah.
I like that one. Brilliant. And I love that, you embody your health is with the way in which you work, like you say, it's your life, it's your work, it's your everything, your health. Well said. And then what about little extra nugget? I know we've already had so much about how to do a journey, how to do a health improvement journey, I think has been one of the real core takeaways for people listening in today, whether that be through running or whether that be through, you know, sort of starting with what you eat or whatever it is that has been the beginning of the seed that you've got to open, and then just nurture, like I'm a gardener. So nurture that seed and grow the most beautiful flowers, in your case, ultra marathon running. Have you got another, a little health habit that you do, you know, sort of quite little, but
Got it. Yeah. So, the one thing that has been helping me all along my life, as a habit, health habit is, I don't overeat. I never overeat. It's what I would say, actually, because in fact, a hard question, Claire, you know, when you send me this question in advance, you know, like I was thinking about it, actually. There is so much to share, but if I have to call one thing out, I think not overeating is definitely coming out for me, because I never overeat. I can't even overeat, actually. Yeah. And people actually laugh at me sometimes. I go to parties, people look at me and say, "You're not eating at all. That's all you eat." I say, "This is all I eat. That's all I want, actually." Right. That's how I think it has been helping me. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. I love both of that. Don't worry. Oh my gosh. You're making me think. I was, 22 years old, and I got on a one-way ticket to Beijing, and then I traveled through China. This is in 1994. It was still two currencies, and you could only stay in certain hotels, only go to certain places. It was very, and I was on my own. Anyway, back in the 90s. Anyway, but I got to this state called Yunnan, and I was in this like village, and then about, I don't know, it was probably about 20 kilometers bike ride to this little old man in the fields or the paddies or like far away. Mm-hmm. And he was a doctor, but he was like this guru doctor. And so I was like homeopathic and natural and all that sort of stuff. So I was like 22. I was like, oh, I've got to go and do this. This is like not even in Lonely Planet. So I hire a bike, you know, this rickety thing. I cycle and it's just like, oh, it's hot. And it was like, it was a journey to get there. And I get there and I give him my money, my little backpack of money. And he turns and he says, and he gives me some tea. And he asks me a couple of questions. And I said, "So what do you think? Dr. Low," I think his name was. "Dr. Low, what do you think? What's your advice?" "That don't worry, be happy."
Wow.
Not all you've got. But it is sound advice. It's very sound advice. And then throw in a practical tip around don't overeat. That'll keep that one in check. You know, as in, I liken it more, I think, more sensitively, though, to I had Jenna Toledo, an intuitive nutritional counselor, on the podcast last year. And she talked about sort of that intuition space of understanding your body enough to know when it's had enough so that you stop eating at that point. So I mean it more in that sensitive way, for sure. But yeah, wonderful health habits. I love it. Hey, Ganesh, this has been brilliant. I'm just, hopefully Ganesh and I might be, you know, collaborating on a couple of things. So you might get to see us again in action jointly. But it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for giving your time and just all that stories and wisdom. It's lovely. And I know that there's going to be many people out there listening just going, oh, yeah, maybe I could be a runner forever. But thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Claire, for having me here. I really have to thank you because, like you mentioned in the sort of the podcast, there have been many people who interviewed me as a runner, coach, ultra marathon runner, author. But yeah, I'm happy to be here again. If we have to collaborate more in the future, we can do it again so together. And thank you so much. All the best to you. Yeah.
Yeah, no, brilliant. I have a feeling that I actually just during this episode, I had a bit of a, that's something Ganesh and I could do together. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So more to follow. But, you know, thank you so much and have a great rest of your day in India. And but for everyone listening, it is time to say goodbye. I want to wish you all the best. Have a great rest of your week. Until next time, stay really healthy.
Thank you. Bye.